Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trial. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live. Today is August 5th, Wednesday. It is hump day for most of you who are still out there working on the job. I don't know how many that is today, but if you are out there working on the job, you have two more days before you enjoy the wonderful weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully it brings great weather for you and some fun and enjoyment. Today we have a very special guest, and his name is Horace Height. He is the son of Horace Height Sr. He was the great big band leader and entertainer back in the day when big bands were popular and there was live entertainment in clubs around the nation. And people love live music. That's why they still go to concerts today, because they pretty much cut out the live music and use DJs today. And it's not the same, is it? It's not the same as the big bands or the trios, the piano players that were live in the clubs. And so we're going to take a trip back to the big band days up to the present time with our very special guest, Horace Height. And I want to thank you for tuning in. And every Wednesday we are live from 12 to 1 p.m., as you know. And if you don't know, well, now you do. Many shows are archived with my special dynamic guests who are authors and experts from around the world and mostly from the USA on a myriad of topics from the U.S. Constitution to politics, to love, to human rights, to health, to animal rights, and many more issues that our authors and experts bring to Colombo Chronicles Live. So be sure to like and follow and share. Hollywood has gotten a lot of attention lately, and they've become more political, as we all know, and we've seen more online, more celebrities online more frequently. But back in the day, we didn't have social media. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have face-to-face. We didn't have Zoom. We didn't have conference calls. And we didn't have the transportation we have today. So people in the spotlight were bigger than life. And we were so excited to see the big band, the big band leader. We were excited to see the super, super, super movie stars that were on the big screen. And we didn't have the big screens in our homes either, did we? We were lucky to have a television set that was color, had color. And so we were so elated and so excited to get a glimpse of a movie star or be able to dance to the big band music or a rock band or country rock music. And today that is rare, so this is going to be exciting to hear about the history of Horace Height. And the name of Horace Height's book is Horace Height, Big Band and Star Maker. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But let me tell you a little bit of the history, the biography of Horace Height, and it's Horace H. Height, to be exact. Born in Los Angeles, California, October 7th, 1946, Horace Height majored in political science with minors in music and mathematics at Stanford University. Focusing upon music and the arts, he studied for 6 months at the Stanford University campus in Florence, Italy. A beautiful place to be, right? He obtained his BA in June of 1969, and prior to attending college, Mr. Height was a cadet at Culver Military Academy in Culver, Indiana, where he graduated with honors in economics. And in 1977, he graduated from Southwestern University School of Law, obtaining his Juris Doctor degree. So we're going to talk a little bit more about his achievements, his accomplishments, and of course, his book, Horace Height, Big Band Star Maker. And we will be back to speak to our very special guest in just a moment, so don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and we're about to start our interview with Horace Height. Let me tell you just a little bit more about him, and then we can get more information in just a moment. After being honorably discharged from the United States Army Reserves as a first lieutenant, he was awarded a Certificate of Esteem by the Department of Defense for a USO Christmas tour of Korea in December 1975. Mr. Height later served as a member of the board of directors of the USO. And I found that very important because I definitely support our military and our United States Army Reserves. And we don't talk about them much, but we do appreciate them. Isn't that the truth? We do appreciate them very much, just like we appreciate our law enforcers. So on that note, let's just get started and say hello to our very special guest, Horace Height. Hi, Horace. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Rose. How are you? Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, I am very happy to speak to you because you have done some wonderful things for your community in California and for people in general with all your public services. And yet you chose to write a book about your father, Horace Height, Big Band Star Maker. And so I was curious what motivated you, instead of writing about yourself, writing about your father.
Well, that's a great question. I am a junior and proud to be, and I took over my dad's businesses, which he had more than one, and one of them was his apartment house community here in Sherman Oaks. And in it, we have this beautiful museum. And I grew up going in that museum almost daily, wondering what all these things were on the shelves. And so I feel I had to write a book about my dad and his accomplishments and that museum. And so that's what I did.
Well, that's fantastic. So what do you believe is one of the best or greatest accomplishments that he achieved?
Well, he had a lot of achievements. His greatest lesson that I learned about writing the book was you achieve greatness through helping others. So he definitely believed in that. And his two biggest achievements, he has two stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. One is for radio, and one is for television. The radio star he achieved by coming up with the first giveaway money program in America called the Pot of Gold. And they always gave away things in the audience, but no one before his show had given money away over the air. And he, with MCA, came up with a show called The Pot of Gold. And you can imagine during the Depression how popular it was, because all you had to do was answer the phone and you received $1,000 for just picking your phone up. So that was one. And the second one is for television. And he had the first traveling televised talent show in America. So they had had talent shows before. Ted Mack had a talent show, but no one got in a car and traveled all over the country to find talent until my dad started his show. It was called the Original Youth Opportunity Program. And those, I think, were his two greatest achievements.
Wow, that's fantastic. So what was it like growing up with your father and all of his, brilliant ideas in the works?
Well, the truth is I live mostly with my mom because my dad was on the road discovering talent for well over 20 years. So I always saw him during holidays, but I really wasn't there, for the shows. My mom insisted that I be educated, and she didn't let me go on the road with my dad. So I stayed home and went to school.
Well, that's probably a very wise thing to have done. And so how did your dad get interested in creating a big band?
Great question. Well, he wanted to be a football player, and he was a guard at the University of California, Berkeley. And one day in a game against Stanford, his halfback ran through the hole that he created and broke his back by stepping on it in three places. Ooh. So he was told he could never play football again or even coach. So the only other thing he knew how to do was play piano. And his mother encouraged him to do that. And at the time, the big thing in America was vaudeville and big bands. So he wanted to get into vaudeville. He didn't like being in the pit with the band playing for other people. So what he did was he got a dog to be the star of his band. The dog's name was Lobo. And the dog act in vaudeville usually closed the show and cleared the audience. Because, you know, back then they did like seven shows a day. So they had to have the audience leave. So he started as the worst act with a dog and worked his way up to becoming one of the best big band acts in vaudeville.
That's amazing, and that just goes to show you, you know, the motivation and the effort and, you know, that some people make to start at the bottom and not give up and keep, you know, climbing that ladder of success. And didn't he play for certain football games and sports events?
Well, I did. I was the band leader for the I carried on his band, and I was the band leader for the L.A. Raiders for I forget how many years it was. It was from 82 to 95, so I guess that's 13 years, and I had a blast. It was at the Coliseum. The Raiders went to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. Al Davis was a very generous man. He gave fabulous gifts every year and fed everyone in his organization every Sunday after a game. So that was one of the great times of my life. I really had a lot of fun doing that.
Boy, that's a good point of information about America, because, you know, with so many people, you know, putting our country down right now, I think it's so important to have these stories out there, because America was about helping people. We're a generous country, and people who made it didn't forget other people. Like you said, he fed everybody after the game. I mean, that was a thoughtful thing to do. And I think, you know, getting more of this positive acts of people helping people from the past is so important for the youth to understand that that was how America really came about, with people helping people, especially, you know, like your dad, you know, growing up in the Great Depression too. So what was his reason for opening up Horace Heidt Estates? He must have had motivation and reason to do that.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a fun story too, and it's all in the book, Horace Heidt, Big Band Star Maker. But they decided to make a movie about his show giving money away, the pot of gold, and they asked my dad and his entire band to come to L.A. Now, he was born in Alameda, California, but he made it in New York at the Palace Theater. So he was working in New York with his band, and he got the call to come to Hollywood, and he brought the whole band here with some fabulous musicians that went on to really do great things in Hollywood, but he couldn't find a place to put his band up. So he decided to buy a ranch called, which is now called the Horace Estates. Originally, it was the Double H Ranch, and he put his whole band up there, and later he housed the people he discovered with his talent show. And then when he retired in about 1955, he built this apartment house and catered primarily to entertainers. So we've had a lot of really wonderful, famous entertainers that have lived here through the years. And we're still here. We're still growing, and we're carrying on the tradition.
And that's wonderful because, as you know, I've been to your luau's several times and over the years, and they are just fabulous. I love the luau's. I mean, even my little granddaughters, they were so thrilled when they were there, you know, with all the entertainment and the stories that some of the entertainers that had been in the movies and television who were there at the luau were telling them stories, you know, of the past. And they just thought that was fantastic. And he actually built like a golf course, a small golf course for, and tennis courts, right, for all the entertainers. And
yeah. He wanted to build a resort, apartment community. So we have an 18-hole golf course, 4 swimming pools, a health club, a tennis court, and about 220 apartments. We call them apartment homes because they're very large.
Yes, they are. They're very large. You don't get that today, especially, you know, closer to the ocean. You really aren't going to get that today.
Yeah.
It's wall-to-wall cement, you know. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful facility. And what is your favorite event that you hold there? Because I know you hold them all year long.
Yeah, but definitely the luau is our favorite event, and our group that does the show, they're all from Hawaii, and they live now in Orange County, and they own their own restaurant. They're called the Hawaiian, A Hawaiian Experience, and they come up and do our show every year, and gee, I think we've done like, gosh, I'm thinking it can't be right, but I think we've done like 50 luau's, but starting with my dad, so we've done quite a few luau's throughout the years.
So a lot of pineapples and roasted pigs.
That's right. a lot of Mai Tais.
So, which is your, do you have a favorite story of a personality that lived at your Horace Hyde Estates in Sherman Oaks, California? Do you have a favorite story that may have stuck in your mind with any personalities that live there?
Gee, that's really a good question. And there's so many great entertainers that have lived here. It's really hard for me to pick one. I think the thing I'm most proud of is how many entertainers have lived there and continue with their families living here. So our favorite singer was Roberta Sherwood, and my dad just loved her. And her son, Bob, is still living here. In fact, he works with us to help us maintain the property. We've had some great stories. Some I'm not sure I can tell on the air. That's really a hard one. The entertainers I remember the best are the ones that actually performed here. So we had Roberta Sherwood, we had Helen Forrest. They all performed here. We had Barbara McNair, and Pat Buttram was perhaps one of the funniest comedians that I've ever known. He did our shows. We had a resident band leader, not me, Gus Bavona, that worked with some of the most famous band leaders like Artie Shaw and Harry James. And, so I remember the performers that actually performed here and did our shows and loved it. They loved having a steady job. So, during their retirement years. So, I mean, we've had a lot of retired entertainers. We had Bob Cummings, who lived here. I'm forgetting half of them. And
you've had so many. Oh, it's okay, because you've had so many, and I've met quite a few at the Horace Hyde Estates during your events, and it's such a pleasure to meet them, and it's so exciting to meet them, you know, because you see them on the screen entertaining, and you don't think you're ever going to meet those people at the time, and then when you meet them, it's very exciting to meet them, because they're also nice. I mean, they're just
people. And my little secret is famous stars just want to be treated as a friend, as a neighbor. They don't want to be treated with, ooh, my goodness, and this is incredible. They just want to be your friend. And so we've been very blessed. Joey Heatherton lived here.
Hello? Oh, somehow we got disconnected, which is very strange. So hopefully Horacite will call back. I don't know what happened, but those things do happen from time to time. So hopefully Horacite will call back. And in the meantime, let me tell you a little more about Horacite. Mr. Hyde is president of the Horace Hyde Agency, and he owns and operates a unique 220-unit, 10-acre apartment complex known as the Horace Hyde Estates. His family-owned businesses and has been in operation since 1955, and he's the president of the Horace Hyde Productions, in which he offers his consultative expertise in the field of entertainment and Fortune 500 companies. So Let's get back to hi, Horace. We got cut off.
Hi, Rose. I'm so sorry. My phone cut out. I don't know what happened.
Phones have been doing that, though. I mean, seriously, everybody's complaining about it. I think they're messing with our technology.
Oh no.
But I got to tell the audience a little more about you, and it's so true. And one of the wonderful things about the luau and the other events is sometimes you do, well, it's luau, you always do, have a big band playing after the event and a stage where you can dance and under the stars. And that is always so much fun because people don't get the opportunity to listen to real professional big band players, and they are so remarkable.
Well, Hollywood has the greatest musicians in the world. They do all the movies you love, and they love working. They love playing. So I'm thrilled that we can do our parties here and invite really some of the greatest musicians anywhere.
Oh, they are. They're fantastic. So tell us a little more about your community work, because you're very community-minded, and you've served with the Chambers of Commerce, Universal City, North Hollywood, Sherman Oaks, Encino, and so forth. You have done a lot for Sherman Oaks and your county and worked with so many different community services. So tell us some of your interests and why you are interested in helping out the Valley out there.
Well, I love the Valley. I've fought for years for it to become its own city. We never quite made it that leap. We never got to be our own city. But I believe that the backbone of America is small businesses. They're the ones that hire most of the people. They're the family-owned businesses that make America what it is today. So I've been a lifelong member of Chambers of Commerce, with restaurant owners, carpenters, apartment house owners, grocery store owners, not large major corporations, but small neighborhood businesses. I've met some fabulous people, made great friends, and really enjoyed participating in our community.
Yes, and also you are correct about the small business owners who so many are hurting today. I personally have four friends who have shut down their beauty businesses because they cannot make it on these lockdowns. They just can't do it, and they're tired of all the restrictions and all the different regulations they've added to them, like making them nurses and take temperatures and all these different rules. So they just finally gave up, and this was their lifetime accomplishment and dreams and that they were successful at. And at 50% capacity, it wasn't worth their efforts to follow all these regulations and stay open, because they weren't really making the profit they needed to survive. So they shut down permanently. And so we're going to lose a lot of it is. And we're going to lose a lot of businesses that were successful. And so being someone who's involved with the Chamber of Commerce in so many areas and supportive of small businesses, I was just wondering, do you think our California is going to be able to recover?
Oh, we will definitely recover. My heart goes out to all of those people you're talking about, And the only thing I can say is don't give up. Be creative. If your restaurant, put tables in the parking lot. We have restaurants that had tables on the curb right next to the parking meter. And people drop by your table and put a quarter in the parking meter that's on your table. It's right next. You know, be creative. Don't give up. Don't let fear take over. I know personally I'm considered essential as a property manager. So I've been to work every day. And we're just working as hard as we can to stay full, to get our tenants to pay the rent. And thank God we're still okay. But don't, you know, if you want to stop doing it for a while, fine. But be creative and find a way to come back and become even better and stronger than you've been.
Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful message, and I appreciate it because we need more positive and motivating messages to go out into the universe and encourage people, you know, to not give up and to, you know, fight back for their American dream, because that is an American dream, right, to own your
Absolutely.
Own business and your own home. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so is there any story that you would like to share from your book, Horace Height, and that you would like the audience to know about your dad or yourself that, you know, sticks out in your head about your achievement or his achievements that you think is something that the audience would love to know about?
Well, in a big picture, a great country is made up of institutions. And every group of people that have a purpose is an institution. The police are an institution. Schools are an institution. Unions are institutions. But the most important institution is family. And people need to be proud of their families and carry them on. And I would like to encourage all of the juniors and sons and daughters of famous business families to be proud of that business and to want to carry it on, because you learn so much from your parents. You learn so many things you can't learn in school. They just don't teach it. So I wish there was much more emphasis on people carrying on the family business. We should be proud of all of our institutions, but we also need to work on getting along with each other and being proud and helpful of our neighbors and finding out more about other people. I'm trying to add one more building to my project here, and it's taken 7 years to get the zoning and the plan check from the city. It shouldn't take that long. I'm trying to provide more housing for the homeless and people that are living on the street. But it's taken me 7 years. That's got to change. We've got to learn to love each other and get along and help each other. So that would be what I would say. That is
well,
what I'd say.
That is excellent, and I, you know what, we can all relate to it, we can all appreciate it, and we can all say a prayer that 7 years is now going to come to a conclusion and open the opportunity on the door so that, you know, the city council will see that this is not just for profit, but also for helping the citizens in their community. And when people do that, people want to vote for them. People want to vote for people who are helping people. And so I totally can appreciate what you're saying and the frustration that it, you know, in time and effort to help people. Sometimes, like you said, you didn't give up. And so when you don't give up, eventually that door is going to open.
So beautifully said. I really believe in God, and I believe that when you spend time helping others, you open the door for God to help you.
Exactly. And you know, Horace, I, you know, have really, really appreciated your input. And your entertainment about your Horace Hyde Estates and sharing that with us. Also, your father's the book about your father, Horace Hyde, Big Band Star Maker. And I just think that it's important that books like this are read because I think it's historical and it helps young people who want to get into the entertainment business, understand the history of how difficult it was, but the motivation and the effort of these successful people who finally made it, they put their time in and their hard work and their love and passion to succeed. So I think it's a very important book. And so now's your time to shine, and you can give your last message, and you can on the show. And you can also let us know how to contact you if you have any social media and or if someone is seeking to live in your apartments, maybe. And also tell us where they can purchase your book.
Well, where the book is on the Internet, you can get us at Amazon.com. It's Horace Hyde, Big Band Star Maker. You can also contact us directly. My phone number, my business phone, is 818-784-8211. And you know, we love to have people come by that love big bands and visit our museum. It's very special. It's small, but it's got the whole story of many of the band leaders, and especially my dad's story.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I just want to thank you so much. And it was such a pleasure to talk to you and to hear what you had to say, and your messages are so important. And, well, hopefully we'll see you again soon at one of the events. And I just want to say God bless you and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Rose. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Thank you, Horace Hyde, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless.
And Horace Hite has left the building. And again, Hite is spelled H-E-I-D-T, Horace Hite, Big Band Star Maker. And you can find it on Amazon. He also gave you his phone number. So if you'd like to visit the museum at the Horace Hite Estates in Sherman Oaks, California, you can also do that as well. And who knows, maybe you'll be invited to that very special luau under the stars. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a fantastic evening, and it's so much fun. I try to go as often as possible. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of the political issues of the day so we can see what's happening in our nation and maybe even around the world. So don't touch that dial because I'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Listen up, because now we have just left the world of authors and experts, and we had a wonderful author and expert, Horace Hite, and his book is Horace Hite, Big Band Star Maker. Look it up on Amazon. And now let's see what's happening with the issues of the day, which was my former cable TV show title during the 90s and early 2000s on the issues of the day. And as we know, Black Lives Matter used George Floyd's death as their platform to create the Black Lives Matter Marxist organization. And it says, new evidence shows George Floyd killed himself, and that's on the Tea Party. And the Gateway Pundit stated, first there was the transcript. I wrote about that on July 11th. Now we have the video. These are the unseen videos of the past that have been released. George Floyd was complaining of not being able to breathe at least 5 minutes before the police were forced by George Floyd to remove him from the vehicle because he kept saying, I can't breathe, put me on the ground. The transcript that was posted on the 11th shows clear evidence that George Floyd was complaining of not being able to breathe while he was being put in the car and in the car. And this video provides the visual proof he did ask to be laid on the ground. And George Floyd was, according to this article, was not killed by the police. He was suffering from respiratory distress caused by a fentanyl overdose. There are autopsies that were reported online stating that he had several drugs in his body, which was fentanyl, and one of the others was meth, alleged in these autopsies reported online. And another cause was COVID, according to the online articles. His inability to breathe had nothing to do with the neck restraint applied by the Minneapolis police, according to this article. Now we know the entire premise of the Black Lives Matter riots was based on a false claim of police abuse. Derek Chauvin did not murder George Floyd. George Floyd, a criminal and drug addict, killed himself by ingesting drugs that doctors use to shut down a patient's respiratory system. So this is very complex and complicated now, because these new videos have come out, and there was a rap sheet published online that alleged that George Floyd had a long rap sheet of alleged crimes. I'm saying alleged because I read it online. And it listed things such as drugs, drug dealing, guns, home invasions, robberies, and porn, and so forth. So, and he also knew Chauvin for at least a year prior to this incident occurring, because they both worked at the same club. So it's a very complicated, complex story. And it appeared to me that if, and according again to the online stories, that George Floyd was alive when the paramedic showed up, and he was alive in the ambulance, and he was alive in the ER. So it was difficult for me to comprehend how could the officer be charged with murder if he died in the ER, and they alleged that his body was overdosing on fentanyl and other drugs and COVID, which are all respiratory issues, and that he was complaining in the vehicle that he couldn't breathe and to please lay him down on the ground. And that's what they did. They followed his instructions and waited for the paramedics. So the question remains, and blowing in the wind, was he murdered by the officer or did he self-overdose? And complicated with alleged COVID. I'll leave that for the investigators to determine. And then we have, let's see what else we have. There was a massive explosion, and we pray for these people. There was a serious shockwave that shook. It looked like a bomb. It really did. It had the big plumes and the explosions, and kind of reminded me of 9/11. But anyway, it says it was a massive explosion and a serious shockwave that shook the Lebanese capital city of Beirut on Tuesday, killing at least 100 people and wounding more than 4,000 others, according to the Lebanese Red Cross. Lebanese Prime Minister Hassan Diab said the blast video, of which quickly surfaced on social media, was caused by the ignition of more than 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate stored insecurely at a warehouse. The explosion is now under investigation. Everybody's wondering, what is a pandemic? So here's my educational point for you. The definition of a pandemic. A pandemic is defined as an epidemic occurring worldwide over a very wide area, crossing international boundaries, and usually affecting a large number of people. The classical definition includes nothing about population immunity, virology, or disease severity. So that's interesting, because a pandemic is a very vague definition. Everybody gets a cold, right? And that goes across the oceans to every country in the world. And it's always happened since time began. There's seasonal flus, and there are coronavirus flus and coronavirus colds, all linked to coronavirus. The flu is spread across the oceans, crosses international boundaries, affects large numbers of people, right? So my question is, if the cold and the flus and pneumonia and maybe TB, which kills 1 million people per year, is linked to coronavirus or has the same symptoms as Legionnaire's disease, which can be caused by a mask, according to some doctors, by wearing masks for long periods of time, day after day, can kill you. And it can be Legionnaire's disease and listed as COVID, like a cold or a flu, seasonal flu, because they're all basically have the same symptoms. And so if a cold and seasonal flu and pneumonia and TB and HIV and all these respiratory issues have been spreading internationally across the oceans and affecting large numbers of people around the world, and the world was never shut down and the world was never locked down, people were not imprisoned in their homes and people were not ordered to not open their businesses and not leave their home without permission or without wearing a mask, and now Fauci wants to add goggles, which is a bunch of bull because people wear glasses. So are these money-making vaccinations for Gates and Fauci and Big Pharma and the medical industrial complex using every human being as a human commodity for their human capital to become multi-billion dollar, more than it is already, medical industrial complex moneymaker? And is every person on the planet a guinea pig in this experiment? And is there an RFID chip that is a nano chip that can alter the DNA of humans, a barcode, which the White House spokesperson for this task force on COVID stated there was a nano microchip in the vaccination that can alter DNA and can alter the brain so that people like Gates with his Microsoft and AI with their Google and so forth, high technology, and the world bankers can track you, spy on you, which they already do, and trace you and force vaccinate you with a barcode, is the question blowing in the wind. And which chemicals are they including in the vaccination? Is it aluminum? Is it mercury? What are they? And are they including DNA? Are they including the COVID virus? Another one? Because we already have 22 trillion viruses in our body, according to the doctors. And we have the coronavirus linked to the colds and flus and so forth. So these are all unknown. Does it have aborted fetal tissue? These are all unknown, undisclosed information that is being withheld against the U.S. Constitution that requires information and knowledge to the government. And we the people are the government. And we the people are ordered to defend our bodies and our families and our fellow Americans from being assaulted with a weapon, which is a needle with unknown chemicals, possible DNA, possible virus, possible aborted fetal tissue, possible aluminum, possible barium, possible mercury. We don't know any of the information because they are fast-tracking these vaccinations. And for example, Lupron, it took 6 months to a year before people started becoming chronically ill to the point they were disabled and class actions started to be filed. So remember, ask questions, call your representatives, demand that they use the high quality standards for safety that publishes scientific case studies and the materials and chemical adjuvants and any nanomicrochip that is inserted and included in the vaccinations and the direct adverse health effects that can be affecting human beings, babies, children, adults, races, ethnicities, elderly, people with underlying causes of death, such as diabetes, health, heart, lung, liver diseases, advanced Alzheimer's, etc. There is not one vaccine that fits all human beings. And can they guarantee that it is a cure? Can they guarantee 100% that you will not get sick again? You will not get the flu. You will not get COVID. You will not get pneumonia. You will not get HIV. Where is their scientific publications on these issues? And that's all we have time for, folks. So, remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you listen to Colombo Chronicles Live. God bless you. God bless America.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.